The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Just saying what?
Well, it's Sunday once again, February 9th, 2020. Wow, who knew? Who'd have thought?
They probably didn't think it would last this long.
I don't know. I'm here in the great state of Jefferson with my sister Linda, who does all the heavy lifting.
Good morning.
And our trusted producer, soundboard operator, and all-around great guy, Jason. Jared.
Good catch. Good morning.
Sorry.
Nice try. It was that long introduction that did it.
Well, I have Jason in my notes, and I know it wasn't right as soon as I said it, so there you have it.
It could be a Jason, I guess.
Well, I don't know. You can listen to us on 1460 or 96.5 FM, which is a lot better. They finally got it fixed this last week, I guess.
Well, it goes in and out from where I'm at, but yeah, you
well,
can always
it seems
switch
to be working.
Back, yeah.
Yeah, so you can go to the chat room at KCNR1460.com. That is where I am headed as we speak. Have you got any announcements?
Well, we do. Don't forget tomorrow night. At the Patriot meeting, they're going to be going over Measure A. Don't see where there's a discussion with it when 100% of the money's being used. It says it right in Measure A for everything but the jail. So,
well,
I don't know.
Do you know what this is about, in my opinion? It's about propping up the underfunded pension liabilities. You know, they say it's for this, they say it's for that, but where's it going to end up? Because they know they're in trouble on the underfunded pensions liabilities. Nobody wants to admit it. Nobody really wants to talk about it. Nobody wants to tell everybody how bad it is. Nobody wants to take any accountability. Everybody's fleeing in droves like rats on a sinking ship.
Well, it says right there the 80% goes for hiring and training of staff of law enforcement. It tells you right there where it's going to go.
Well,
that's pretty black and white.
It's, yeah, but they can spend it any way they want.
All right, you got it.
That's the problem.
So that's tomorrow night at 6 p.m. And don't forget, coming on Saturday, February 15th at 4 p.m., Fight for Liberty. There's going to be a town hall. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be at the VFW Hall in Anderson at 3210 West Center Street. And it's going to go over State of Jefferson and Second Amendment. Speakers will be Mark Baird, Patrick Jones, and Dr. DeNuca. Oh, I wasn't sure what you were doing. And then, of course, we've got a couple guests today. We've got Curtis Byron. He should be calling in. And then at the top of the hour, we have Bill Chappelle. So we are trying to get all the candidates in that are running for supervisor and other positions. And so I guess we have a caller on the line. We've got Peter. Good morning, Peter.
How are you doing?
Hey, the fun never stops, Pete. How's it going, buddy?
All right. Am I on the air?
You are.
Sorry. I start the show off. Listen, I want to carry on what the previous conversation was. One of my pet subjects.
Second
the
Amendment?
Unfunded liability what's causing it all. Please be patient with me. Listen, before me, I have what all the people on our water system are paid under the Department of Works, and you think the police are paid highly? Let me give you a few figures. Now, these guys are mostly T1 and T2 guys. I got my T1 in 6 months at the college. I could have done the T2, but I didn't know I could. So, you know, these guys are paid $166,000 a year, $137,000 a year. The lady that answers the phone is on $126,000 a year. Another plumber is on $153,000 a year. Another plumber is on $198,000 a year. The engineers, when you get to the engineers, they're on $305,000 a year. And the other engineer is on $296,000 a year. Now, my favorite person, and I don't mind mentioning his names, if he was paid on performance, he'd be running Henderson Park. My favorite guy, Patrick Minturn, if he's on 40 hours a week, this guy is on $412,214.40 an hour a year.
Wow.
He charges us $198.18 an hour every time he works on our system or answers the phone.
Wow.
So what I'm saying is I'm so sick and tired of people, you know, they want to put Band-Aids on everything. The Band-Aid in this case is the 1%. Why is it so high? Because of all these outrageous salaries and unfunded liabilities. Another thing that really annoys me that most people don't know out there is that last year the county, for the first time in their life, had to turn around and pay 9% of their medical. Well, you know what? My wife and I, we pay $10,000 to $11,000 a year, and we're retired. And they just started paying their 9%. So everybody leaves all these figures out of the equation, and now we've got all these bloody idiots running these county and cities with all the homeless bloody people. What's the solution? Raise the property tax. Raise the sales tax. Where are the people brought into the negotiations? Where is the county, the city import? Sorry, I'm getting. Where are the businessmen of this county brought into the negotiations when these government employees are going for their increases in their salaries, which are causing all this problem?
Well, listen, Peter, I want to read something to you here. This is from Edward Seidel, who's a former SEC attorney and America's leading expert on pension looting, and is an authority on teacher, fire, police officers, and those in the public service and the military's pensions. And what he says is, every pension death I've witnessed involved multiple experts responsible for monitoring the decedent's vital signs, i.e. soundness of the plan, including the calculation of future liabilities and assumed rates of return, allocation of assets, and fees paid to investment managers. The judgments of these so-called experts are rightfully called into question by the unexpected death. To the extent they may have contributed to the demise of the plan, they should be held accountable. Pensions just don't implode overnight. There is always warning signs or red flags that have been disregarded for decades. Why? Pension deaths are almost always foreseeable. Likewise, pension deaths are almost always preventable. If not foreseen and prevented, then someone was not doing their job. Now, who is that that's not doing their job, or who are the multiple persons not doing their job here in the city of Reading? Are they the people that are the recipients to the pensions that are leaving in droves? Are they the people that are negotiating with the unions? Is it the unions? I say if we want to get to the bottom of this, we might have to sue the city or the county, just like they're suing the state of California to open their checkbook right now. California has refused to open their checkbook to the people so that they can see where the money's going. And now they're being sued because of it. I say we might have to do the same thing here, or bring in an expert like this Edward Seidel to go over the books.
Because
historically, from what I'm seeing is this: there's payoffs going on, there's backroom deals, there's kickbacks, and the kickbacks are usually in the form of going out. It's kind of like what we're seeing on the national level, where they pay a foreign country a bunch of money, and then it gets kicked back through, you know, somebody's son or relative or whatever. But what they're doing here is typically, now I don't know what they're doing here, but I guess this is what they're doing here, is that they're overpaying all the people that are managing the funds, and then they get kickbacks from the people that are managing the funds. They get kickbacks from the unions that are buying their way in, and they're also getting pensions for themselves to the tune of what you're talking about, outrageous sums in relationship to the amount of people that can pay in and the size of the community. It is unconscionable, and until people start getting angry, or the recipients of these pensions lose their money, because that's what's going to happen, is a lot of these guys are going to walk off into the sunset, and the rest of them are going to end up with 40, 60, 50% cuts in their pensions, and they don't even see it coming because they've been listening to their experts.
Love you, mate. Listen, what right do government employees have to be unionized? You know, if this guy Minturn was paid on his performance, as I said earlier, he'd be running Henderson Park. He's running seven water systems, and five of them in dire straits. He's bankrupt us, and that useless guy, bloody Les Barr on the board, congratulates him for doing such a great job. Les Barr himself has been bankrupt I don't know how many bloody times. But, you know, I just get so frustrated that the county, the government people should not be unionized.
I agree.
The people in charge of government employees should be the guys paying the taxes.
Well, there's a lot of problems.
What do we do? All these guys paying the taxes that are working their butts off there, you know, they go along and they go, and they get, most of them will go. What's the solution? Raise the sales tax.
Well, you know, Pete, listen, we got to go to a break, but I want to talk about the fact that the guys that are working for the unions, the police, the fire, the teachers, they're the ones that are ultimately going to get screwed out of this whole deal.
They're suffering over it.
There's a lot of hardworking people inside those departments that don't see the writing on the wall. Some of them maybe are seeing the writing on the wall, but they're the ones that are also going to be the victims of this, and who's going to be the beneficiaries? It's going to be the hedge funds. It's going to be the brokers. It's going to be the people at the top that have raked off all this money on top of everybody else's back. So with that said,
well, and before we go to the break, I want to say, and those people, if they opened up the books and was transparent, the firemen and stuff, maybe they would get their eyes open to what's really going on, and instead of the lies that are coming to them.
They're
going
to have to be forced to open the books through either legal action or some other way, and some other way scares the crap out of them.
I'm glad you're there, you guys. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. And with that, we're going to go to a break. Hold on to the line. We've got our guests on the other side of the break. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
Thank you.
SST Oil on Windham Lane in Reading, your source for specialty fuels and oils, including kerosene and low-sulfur fuel oil. They feature Toyotomi heating systems and on-demand water heaters. Save $100 on a new Toyotomi home water heater and ask about special savings for residents affected by the car fire. Locally owned SST Oil, supporting the community through summer fires and winter snows. Stay warm and cozy with Toyotomi and SST Oil. 241-1167. 241-1167.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Step right up to the historic Cascade Theater for an evening of engaging family entertainment when Cirque Mechanics returns to Reading February 11th. Part mechanical invention, part high-flying circus, Cirque Mechanics' new show plays tribute to the lore of the 1800s circus with acrobatics, aerialists, mechanical marvels, and a bit of clowning around. Don't miss this spectacular show February 11th. Get tickets at 530-243-8877 or cascadetheater.org.
Hear my phone.
I can. Oh, there. Now I'm on. I can hear that.
Yeah, maybe we'll turn mine up or something.
Is that Big Fat Mama the government? Just saying.
The government?
Government?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's like all these guys that are working over there, man. I mean, I just want to say, you know, this is kind of what I think about most of the guys and stuff. I mean, if I can get
it. There we go.
Hold on. There we go.
All right, ready?
Hold on, let me...
Three, two, one.
Okay, we'll try it one more time. This is what I think about those guys. What's going on here with my sound? Huh? I don't know what's going on. We'll try it again later.
All right, moving on. We do have a caller on the line, which is our guest. We have Curtis Byron on the line, and he's running for District 4. Are you there?
Curtis? Yes, I am. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. Before we get started, do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself and why you're running for this position?
Well, I'm a lifelong resident of Shasta County. Lived here for 60 years. Actually been in District 4 for over 30. My wife and I have a business in District 4. She's had a business in District 4 for over 40 years. I've just watched the government, you know, the national, state, and local governments just not get things done in a timely manner. And I felt that it was time for me to jump in and try to fix it. So I am.
Well, and what do you propose to do to fix it?
Well, obviously there's issues with the planning department's permitting process that everybody's concerned about. There's obviously a lack of revenue to increase jail space to jail space that mentally ill to take care of our public safety issue. And those things need to be addressed. We have to find a revenue stream so that we can incarcerate these people or get them the help they need.
So if you were listening to us, we were talking a little bit about the pension problem and so forth. But let's talk about Measure A here to start with. So are you for Measure A or against it?
I am for a revenue source. I think Measure A is the closest we've ever come to getting a revenue source that the public would get behind if it doesn't pass. I have other plans of trying to generate revenue for Shasta County so that we can, you know, get these people incarcerated and off the streets.
What about
to get them help?
What about looking to the budget that we already have? I mean,
what about an audit of a forensic audit?
And then on Measure A also, it doesn't specifically allocate the funds, really. I mean, it pretty much goes in the general fund. They can do whatever they want. I mean, I see that as a problem. What's your vision?
Well, I don't see it going to the general fund as much as other people do.
Is there anything in there do you know anything in there that bars it from doing that? Because we historically can't trust these guys to begin with. I mean, you know, they keep raising our taxes and then misallocating the funds. So is there anything in Measure A, have you read it, to where, you know, you feel comfortable?
I feel comfortable if I'm in there that it will go to where it needs to go. The distrust of local politicians is driving the resistance for Measure A or any tax measure for that matter. So, you know, you've got the mistrust, so people aren't going to believe it's going to go where it's supposed to go. If I were elected, it would go where it's supposed to go because public safety is going to be my number one concern.
But shouldn't we have that codified where it's going to go, as opposed to just trusting? Because you're only one voice
one
on,
person,
yeah,
yeah,
one voice
one
on the
vote.
Board. I mean, if the other people decide to spend it, then it's what is it, a 3-3-2 deal? They can just do whatever they want.
Not the way that I read Measure A. The way I read Measure A, it has to go to those specific spots, to those specific areas. Funding those specific things. Now, you know, you get into a meeting and some other stuff comes up. You got to trust your politicians. And I, for one, would make sure that it goes where it is. And honestly, I'm not going to let it go. I'm not going to be a passive politician.
Okay. We do have a caller on the line that has a question for you.
Sure.
Are you there, Terry?
Yeah, I am. You know, Curtis, I'm a little confused because when you were at the Patriot meeting, you seemed as if you were against A, and then I heard you on the radio with Carl Bott, and you were kind of for A. Then I heard you up at City Council, the chambers up there this last week, and it was sort of like, you know, you would make sure it's okay, but what if you're not in office? I mean, the deal is that 80% of it, I believe, goes to administrative costs.
Correct.
And a lot of the money goes to existing jail situations, which means they can take the money that's there if they don't need it and use it somewhere else. Of course they can't use the new money for that, but they can use the old money for it. I'm trying to figure out where you stand on this because, you know, by saying Measure A is okay because it's the best thing we have right now, it isn't an answer. You know, what part of Measure A makes you believe that Measure A itself holds itself as a measure accountable, as Mark Kent said, not because of the people who are doing it to make sure it's done right, but where in Measure A does it show that it is accountable to itself? Just answer me that.
The money is to go to a specific area to help fund public safety. They are, by law, if they don't do it, they can be held accountable legally. It's the way that I read it. My position on Measure A has never changed. I am for additional funding. If Measure A is the answer, then that's a good thing. Otherwise, we have to find other additional funding to fund public safety to get criminals and mentally ill people off the streets.
I
couldn't hear a word he said. Could somebody, maybe one of you guys, tell me what he said? Because the other phone isn't coming through, and I cannot hear what he said at all.
Well, he basically, and correct me if I'm wrong, saying that if we need a way to fund the jail beds and stuff, and Measure A is it.
For public safety
reasons.
If they can't get Measure A, then they have to find another way. And he's basically, hasn't changed his position on Measure A. He's for it. And he's saying that the politicians will be held accountable if they spend it incorrectly.
Right.
And my question on that part is, well, how are they going to be held accountable? It doesn't seem like these guys are being held accountable
now
at anything. Maybe you could.
And who holds them accountable? Where does it show they're being held accountable if they have old money that they're using the new money for? They now have what is called extra money. That doesn't change. How does that not change? And then I really apologize, Curtis, but I couldn't hear a word you said on the phone. So anyway, I'll take that answer off the air because I really want to be able to hear what you have to say, sir.
All right. Thanks for calling in, Terry. Wow.
Well, again, I'm accountable. If you break the law, then you are held accountable. You're supposed to be held accountable. The politicians, whoever they may end up being, if they do not follow the law, my understanding is that they could be held criminally liable for not following the law. I don't know the repercussions of that.
Yeah, I'm just wondering who's going to do that. I mean, who would file? Who's going to investigate it? They pretty much just turned their nose up on the grand jury report, some time ago, and they didn't even care. So let me ask you another question here. Would you be for auditing the books? I mean, we talked about the state of California right now is being sued because they refuse to open up their books for a forensic audit. Everybody wants to see where the money's going and, what's being spent on the checkbook. We've been asking about that here because we think that they have more than enough money as it is, depending on how you're spending it and where it's being allocated.
That is one of the options.
And that's one of the issues is that we do not want to give them more money till we figure out where the existing money's going. Are you open for an audit the books here in the county, and if so, would you promote that if you were
elected?
I am for transparency, and I have no problem with auditing the books. The one issue that I do have, and this goes across the board, not just necessarily on the books, is hiring an outside firm to come in and tell us things we already know. So if we can open up the books to look and see, I'm absolutely for it. I have no problem.
So,
well, who do you suggest to look at the books?
Yeah, I mean, you're saying somebody that's already inside the government in the existing structure to audit their own books?
No, you get a local CPA to come in and do it. You don't have to hire a big old firm from San Francisco to come in and audit our books for us when somebody local can do it.
Well, I mean, I'm not...
It depends on the qualifications.
Yeah,
there.
I guess so. And then the connections there could be a problem as well.
Right.
I'd like to get somebody who's a completely neutral party to audit it. Has no dog in the hunt is where I would go with that. But it sounds like you're in favor of auditing the books. And I would suggest that we do that before we raise taxes, because these guys don't seem to want to be very transparent, it seems like, that are in the existing structure. They just kind of turn... You know, I don't see the accountability. They've been approached... on several occasions with the community to do something, and they just kind of ignore it.
Yeah, and I don't see why it should be on the taxpayer's back, so to speak, to pay the tax, why they try to get their house in order.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, that. So is there anything else?
And there's my issue with bringing in some big hotshot firm from San Francisco, when we can get it done much more effectively.
Well, I definitely wouldn't go for San Francisco. I was thinking more somebody in a flyover red state who thinks that government's out of control, possibly, that would look at the books and with an eye of
honesty
to try to figure out where the problem is, because I don't think that they're having a money problem here. I think that we're having a problem of too high salaries, too high pensions, and the unfunded liabilities are out of control, and that's pretty easy to see just based on what is available to look at. What's your idea on these pensions getting out of control, and how do we fix it?
Well, that's a big nut to crack, you know, especially first year in. I think that we have to plan for the future on all new hires, to change the structure on the participation in the CalPERS. Most of these problems is the CalPERS and prior administrations that have been just giving the money away. And I don't think that should go on anymore. It's a revenue issue that we got to have the money to pay for what's already been done, but we need to stop it now from getting any worse than it is.
Well, are you familiar with defined contributions as opposed to defined benefits and the differences of them?
Yes.
So which would you prefer to have?
Private sector, the money that goes in is the amount of money that comes out. This 7% guaranteed return on your money that goes into CalPERS is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. You should get back the amount of money that you put in.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, that's why defined contributions is the way to go for sure. And ever since we started the defined benefits is when we started running into the problem, because you can't promise,
absolutely,
you know, 7.5% rate of return in a marketplace that might only return 0 or 1% or even a negative percent. It has to run with the market.
That's right. And that's why. And the states, the counties are all responsible for making up the difference. State of California doesn't have to do things, and they're the ones that started the law. It's stupid.
Well, how do we make them accountable? They don't seem to be even slowing down. I mean, they're raising everybody's pensions or pay. It looks like the new sheriff coming in replacing Lee's
Larry Lee.
Larry Lee's. He's gotten $20,000 more. I mean,
right.
It doesn't even seem like they care.
Well, that one's a tough one. Larry Lee's turned down a couple of raises before he left. He was consulted when they were going to offer the guy more money than he was paying on that. In that position, you have to have a qualified person to help us get control of these types of things, and he has to be very knowledgeable. I've never met the guy. I just talked to a couple people on the committee, and they said he was by far more qualified than anybody they had interviewed before, and they were comfortable that they made the right decision. Time will tell. But, you know, again, if I'm in there and able to make any changes, I certainly will.
I guess we do have a caller on the line. We've got Terry on the line. Do you have a question or comment, Terry?
Yeah, and I'll take my answer off the air, because I really can't hear Kurt's opportunity to respond. I want to hear what he says. But He was just saying that as we hire new people, we make it less. And Mark made the point, you know, really and truly, we just hired a new guy to take Larry Lease's job. We're paying him $25,000 more. How is that doing it less? And the gentleman who's moving here is going to find that he can live on a third less than he was living on in San. I mean, how does that even make any sense? The current Board of Supervisors doesn't listen to the grand jury, and also your opponents, to every person, with the exception of the incumbent, Morgan, is against Measure A because they believe that what has to happen, as Mark Kent said, and rightfully so, that we have a forensic audit first to see where the money's going. And apparently we're broke, but we can give a new guy 25 grand more a year? I mean, come on, this isn't rocket science. And I think everybody's tired of the waffling. Everybody's tired of people not answering the question, diverting the question. Politics as usual isn't working anymore. That's why Donald Trump got elected. But anyway, I'll take your answer off the air, but I'm trying to figure out how you're, you know, how you can possibly be for something before you even know what's in the kitty.
Was that in regards to Measure A again, or was it in regards to
yes.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
hiring?
I think it's kind
yeah.
of, I kind of, I think it was
the board with yeah. everything in regards to Measure A, and the pensions.
The connections, it's all the same stuff. It's all the budget overspending, the pensions, and then Measure A as well.
And
you know,
hiring and firing of people.
And bringing in more money through Measure A, you know, without knowing, you know, what's going on to begin with as far as where the expenditures are. So I'm not sure there was a question there, but go ahead and tell us what you think about it, Curtis.
Well, if I'm elected, Measure A will be decided. I'll have no control over that either way. If it passes, great. If it doesn't, then we have other options, other ideas that are going to have to be used. So I don't. The raises, it's a case-per-case-per basis. And like I said, as far as the new CEO, I wasn't involved in that either. I just talked to the people that work. If I'm in there, again, you have to take the best information you have and make the best decision. And I'm not necessarily for raises, but occasionally you have to pay somebody what they're worth in order to get what you want. You don't just hire them at a lower salary and hope they work out, because they can make the problem worse. But I am not for automatically giving people raises and automatically hiring people for more money. I'm against that.
Well, you said something that kind of stuck with me, and then we'll go to the break, is that, if we're not going to hire people for a lower salary and hope they work out, why would we hire them for a higher salary and hope they work out?
I just don't see necessarily that you get more quality the higher you pay.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Either way, you're kind of wondering whether you're going to work out. But let's go to a break
real quick. Yeah, and then we have a guest on the other side that has a question for you, Curtis. So this is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM, your talk radio for the North State.
Oh, I could hide beneath the wings of the bluebird as she sings. The 6 o'clock alarm would never ring. But it rings, and I ran, wipe the sleep out of my eyes. With shaven razors cold, and it sings. Cheer up, sleepy Jean. Oh, what can it mean to a daydream believer and a homecoming queen? You once thought of me.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243 CT Reading.
Tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts, Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
The Redding Rancheria pays state and federal taxes, transient occupancy taxes, sales taxes, and special taxes that are applicable only to our tribe. When the Rancheria relocates the casino to our I-5 property, we will generate even more local taxes. These taxes and fees help the city and county fund essential governmental services. The local community faces many challenges in the near future, and the Rancheria is committed to being a part of the solution. Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Sometimes a man just needs to be alone. Drive the Blue Ridge Parkway to the sky. I don't know where I'm going. There ain't no way knowing. Trying to forget the reasons why.
Sovereign Mind Radio, little John Anderson there. I really like that song.
I don't think I've heard that one.
That's new stuff. It's good. That's a really good song. Okay, we're back here with Curtis Byron, and we're talking about District 4 in Shasta County. And, you know, we're
everything that makes us go around here.
yeah, the craziness we call government, I guess, these days. But
we do have a caller on the line. Yeah. We've got Nick. Good morning, Nick.
Hey, good morning. I feel like Curtis is getting beat up on things that he had absolutely nothing he could vote on. It's nice to know his opinion, but I'd like to move forward on some things that he might have the opportunity to address. The first one's it's question 18 of Janet Chandler's when she talked to the supervisor candidates, Dale Ball and Susan Pierce, and Leonard didn't show up. Here's the first question, Curtis. There was a recent incident in which a county employee made a false and misleading statement to the board in support of a homeless resource center. I think you and I talked about it was Danelle Ewert who said that instead of building a new jail, San Antonio put their money into homeless services, and they in fact didn't have to build a jail. They have right now 1,000 empty jail beds, and I called San Antonio, and that was a completely false statement. So here's my question to you. Should an employee who gives false information that affects the spending of public funds be fired, disciplined? How would you have handled this situation, Curtis? Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. From a private sector, I'd fire them immediately. I don't tolerate that kind of stuff. False information. The decisions that the board of supervisors make are based on the information that staff gives them. And if they give them erroneous information, then they make erroneous decisions. And that's just not acceptable on any level.
That's the answer I was looking for. Here's the next question. There are issues that may not take place in your district, but that affect the entire county and would require your vote. The Fountain Windmill Project is one of these issues. How do you view this proposal? which will undoubtedly come up to vote before the board, and what is likely to be your vote? You've got to remember that Shasta County isn't getting any of this power.
I would honestly want to read the EIR. I'm not a fan of wind power. I think that they it's been hyped over and above the actual benefits of wind power, and you're starting to see some of that now. I can't honestly say I would vote against it, but that would be my gut right away.
Well, thank you, Curtis. Do you have any policies that you think would make life better in Shasta County that you would try and implement? And I'll take this on the air. Thanks, buddy.
All right. Thanks for calling in, Nick.
I'm the increase in revenue to help incarcerate and enhance public safety. My position to increase revenue is a little different than some of the other candidates. I'm more into the tourism, promoting tourism, promoting Shasta County as a destination spot. It increases sales tax, TOT tax, and all sorts of things that I think can help immediately increase revenue in the state or in the county.
Okay. Well, a lot to think about here.
Well, we have a lot going on. Is there anything that you want to get out? I know we only have about 10 minutes left, so is there something that you want information or something you want to say to the people out there?
No, I just, you know, I'm not a politician. This is my first time going into the political arena. My other are all politicians that have done this before. I think it's time to take a business approach to the finances and the running of Shasta County. It's always been my thought that that should happen. It never does seem to happen, and so that's one of the reasons I'm running.
If somebody wants to get a hold of you, how would they do that?
I have a Facebook page, Curtis Byron District 4, website, CurtisByron.com, and on the website it has my phone number. If anybody wants to call me, I take phone calls.
Well, very good. We appreciate you coming in, Curtis, and taking the heat, because this is a pretty tough forum. We don't let anybody off the hook. So,
and our next candidate's probably going to get the same. So,
no, that's fine. That's the way it ought to be. I don't have any problem with it.
Very good.
Well, thanks again for coming on, and I don't know if we'll be able to get you back before the election because we're running out of time as far as that goes. But thanks again for taking the invite and coming on and taking the heat.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it. It was fun.
Have a great day.
All right. Thanks.
Okay. I guess we got about 10 minutes before the top of the hour. Oh, gosh, what do we even talk about? There's so many things in the news. I mean, the impeachment acquittal. That goes on and on and on and on. You know,
what's going to be their next thing? You know, come on.
I'll tell you what. There's some big stuff coming down the pipe. I've posted on my Facebook page, the one with the cowboy carrying the flag, some items that I think are very important. The things that we should be paying attention to on some of this stuff. I post a bunch of funny memes too, but I'm going to repost this one. It's called "The Best Is Yet to Come," and that should go to the top of my Facebook page. And that's a great video; everybody should watch. But I also think that everybody needs to probably watch the other one that I posted from "In Pursuit of Truth," and I think that that is a very important video that people should be looking at. And so, with that said, maybe we should get our break in here before the top of the hour, or should we just keep going?
Well, we probably should just keep going to the top of the hour. But before we go any further, I do want to give a shout-out, so to speak, to Mr. Rose. I know he's been sick, and if you're listening, I hope you're feeling better. We sure do miss you on Sunday mornings. So, again, good better.
Very good.
Yeah,
Frankie, come on back.
Come on back. We miss you. You're our mascot. You keep us in line. So
also,
there you go.
Yeah, we want to Red Smith is still
on assignment,
and, you know, we're thinking about him as well.
Yes. We sure are.
So with that,
and maybe we should bring up about maybe if people want to help us out here at the radio program.
I think
you know,
that's
people,
a good idea.
Yeah, people think that we do this and we get paid for it, and we got you know surplus money hanging around. Well,
it's all free, isn't it?
Yeah,
no.
It's not. Well, so if you want to help us out and donate to us or sponsor, or you could advertise your business or something, give us a call. You can call me at 221-0101 or 356-3651. And that is in regards to Sovereign Minds and Jefferson State of Mind. So, yeah, contrary to belief, we have to pay for all this time that we're on.
Yeah. They don't pay us?
No.
Really? Crap. Okay, so what else can we got here at the top of the story here in the news that we can go take a look at here that's something of interest? Wow, I mean, there's so much going on right now.
What was that in Virginia or wherever they just passed that gun law that, what was that? I think it was Virginia that all assault rifles, they're banning them or something.
I haven't seen that. I actually...
I have to bring it up now that it kind of triggered my mind
maybe
there.
Maybe we'll take
that,
a look at it. But, I mean, it's just crazy. There's some stuff coming out about Mike Pompeo, you know, at a governor's meeting. I'll try to post that and, on Twitter feed and talking to the governors about how they, the Chinese already have a list of the governors on who are amiable towards the Chinese positions and who are, you know, not and the guys that are on the fence. And it's just like there's so much going on here. And you know, Weinstein goes to trial in New York. You know, has also been charged in Los Angeles. And where's that going? I don't know. I mean, let me see if I can get some current. Actually, that's not even a current headline. That's last month. I mean,
that's really old news. Come on.
It's going, the news cycle is going so fast. It's ridiculous. Let's see. We got a mysterious bank Jeffrey Epstein created in the Virgin Islands after received $15.5 million after his death. Let's see. How does that work? You get $15.5 after your death, and it goes to a mysterious bank in the Virgin Islands.
What it was in Virginia is it's a red flag law in regards to the Second Amendment, and they're trying to make it so that they can come and take your guns without due process.
Well, here's another one that I should have thought of already. This is this was posted on Tucker Carlson had this on his show the other night. It's called the New Way Forward Act. It's legislation designed to make a new country out of the U.S. using immigration as a means. The law says convictions should not lead to deportations, meaning that criminals could settle in the U.S. with no danger of being sent back. The bill says criminalized illegal entry into the U.S. is white supremacist. Now, this is a bill that is in Congress right now. Well, it doesn't have any chance of passing the Senate? No. But the fact that you've got 44 House Democrats sponsoring this bill is just unbelievable. I mean, we've got a group of people in our Congress now that are trying to change the country fundamentally. Does that sound familiar to anybody? It's roughly 4,400 words, which is almost exactly as long as our United States Constitution. And like the Constitution, it is designed to create a whole new country. The bill would entirely remake our immigration system with the explicit purpose of ensuring that criminals are able to move here and settle here permanently with impunity. Now, I'm going to post this.
Wow.
And I think everybody should watch this video because it's not a joke and it's not pretended and it's not fake news. This is real stuff that people need to pay attention to of what's going on. And we need to sweep these rats. I mean, that's just crazy because if we want to sweep these guys out because, you know, here's really what I think about these guys, and they're not even Yankees, okay?
I've heard that you're a low-down Yankee liar.
I mean, that's what we're talking about, and does it get weird? It gets really weird because when you are talking about rewriting the Constitution... We got sound back. Just saying. We got to figure it out.
We got a serious problem if, you know, rewriting the Constitution. I mean, really? People need to wake up and start
start really seeing what's going on. I mean, we're being infiltrated. I mean, with, you know, we talk about Russia, 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 but Russia was just a, I mean, it's Ukraine, 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 and China, China, China. You know, that's the real deal that's going on here. And then you've got these guys that are coming in Iran. I mean, gee, look at the occasional Cortex, you know, and all the other ilk of her cronies that are, you know, involved in trying to pass a deal, a bill to completely change our constitution so that illegal aliens can come here permanently and we can't get rid of them. Gee, that's not trying to do anything to ruin our American way of life, is
it? No, not at all.
Wow.
No problem. I think we're at about the top of the hour. Stay tuned for the second half of Sovereign Minds. We do have another guest in the studio. So if you have questions or comments for our guest, give us a call, 530-605-4567. A place
that... Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. Fed forecasters see no interest rates coming, changes coming, that is, in a newly released monetary policy report.
Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell will testify before congressional committees this Tuesday and Wednesday on the outlook from the newly issued report. His testimony is expected to amplify the Fed's view that no further changes in interest rates are needed. Many economists believe the Fed will keep those rates unchanged for the entire year, although some analysts think it's still possible to have one more rate cut if a risk such as the global coronavirus outbreak persists. George Bonzani reporting.
A gunman is in custody at this hour after he ambushed police officers in the Bronx twice in 12 hours, wounding two. The attacks have ignited outrage from officials who blame the violence on an atmosphere of anti-police rhetoric. The man, whose name was not immediately released, captured after he walked into a police station in the Bronx and opened fire. Nobody was hurt too badly. The two officers injured will be back on the beat soon, they say. Ford is shaking up its management team.
The move comes after a poor fourth quarter financial performance and the botched launch of the Explorer SUV. The Dearborn, Michigan company says automotive president Joe Hinrichs will retire effective March 1st. Ford's full-year profit plunged by more than $3.6 billion last year, and it lost $1.7 billion in the fourth quarter. New Explorers came off the assembly line with multiple problems and had to be shipped to a Detroit area factory for repairs, delaying deliveries to customers and costing the company sales. Rhonda Rockster reporting.
Oregon National Guard troops aboard two helicopters airlifted more than 20 people to safety from floodwaters yesterday. Authorities say a 62-year-old woman who lived in one of the areas is still missing, however. The National Guard troops were working in concert with Umatilla County Sheriff's Office. They say that more evacuations will be coming today. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Thinking about life insurance? What if you could make one free phone call and learn your best price from nearly a dozen highly rated price competitive companies? Well, that's exactly what happens when you call SelectQuote Life. For example, George is 40. He was getting sky-high quotes from other companies because he takes meds to control his blood pressure. But when I shopped around, I found him a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $25 a month. I'm SelectQuote agent Dan Savino. And believe me, if SelectQuote isn't shopping for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For a free quote, call 800-523-3771. That's 800-523-3771. 800-523-3771 or go to selectquote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at selectquote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Big tech companies are taking over the stock market. Correspondent Jeremy House explains.
The five biggest U.S. stocks, Apple, Microsoft, Google's parent company, Amazon, and Facebook, have grown so explosively that they account for nearly 18% of the S&P 500 index by market value. Meanwhile, they make up just 1% of its population. The swelling at the top increasingly matters for regular investors who've been putting more of their 401k accounts into funds that mimic the S&P 500. The trends mean investors are increasingly beholden to the fortunes of five companies. Morningstar says the majority of money invested in U.S. stock funds is now in index funds. Jeremy House reporting.
Two U.S. soldiers were killed, six wounded in a so-called insider attack in eastern Afghanistan's Nangarhar province late last night when an Afghan dressed in an Afghan army uniform opened fire. Gunman was killed. News and analysis at townhall.com. One prominent House Democrat makes the case for removing Iowa from the election season poll position.
In the aftermath of the Iowa caucuses fiasco that kicked off the 2020 election season, the highest-ranking African-American lawmaker in the House says it's time for change. Representative Jim Clyburn of South Carolina called for the end of caucuses Friday, maintaining they can be manipulated. Clyburn added he's been arguing for 30 years that the campaign season should not start in a state that does not reflect the demographics of the country. Clyburn also said despite his strong showing in Iowa, Pete Buttigieg has a significant challenge with South Carolina's black voters. Clyburn was interviewed on C-SPAN's Newsmakers. Mike Gracia, Washington.
Today is Sunday, February the 9th, and some famous people are celebrating a birthday today, including TV journalist Roger Mudd. He's 92. Singer-songwriter Carole King is 78. Country singer Travis Tritt, 57. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
There's a place in the a place that I know, where the world cannot find me, and the time goes so slow, in the back.
Sovereign Mind Radio. That's a little bit of Dan Fogelberg there. Good stuff. I just posted some more videos. I posted the Tucker Carlson video. Violence indicates that society is breaking down. That comes from Benny on Twitter. And then I also posted another one from YouTube, attorney, says that the FBI has been lying about the murder of Chef Seth Rich. So it kind of looks like they were covering up for somebody or they were involved in the murder. Would you be surprised at any of that stuff anymore?
None of the above.
So, you know, the same Hillary guys you were keeping, and we all know, I've been talking about it, for 3 or 4 years. I mean, Seth Rich was the guy that downloaded the server, the Hillary stuff. It didn't come from some Russian guy. It came from Kim.com is the one broke the story on it, and Julian Assange is the one that released it after he got it from Seth Rich. So, I mean, it's starting to come out, and I don't know, after this impeachment thing's over, maybe Trump's going to go on the offensive here a little bit, and Lindsey Graham said, I guess it was yesterday or this morning, I saw the video this morning, that half of the people that were involved in Burisma are going to prison. So we'll just have to see how this plays out. I did also post the best is yet to come. If you haven't watched that, Donald Trump, the best is yet to come, Trump 2020, I highly suggest that you watch that. That's a very good video, very, very well done speech. One of the things about the speech, his last phrase was the best yet to
come.
The best yet to come was his last phrase right when Nancy Pelosi tore up the speech, the State of the Union speech, and they posted on Q a week and a half before that. The best is yet to come. Now, to say that Trump is not involved in some of this stuff, I think you're totally missing what's going on. And also that video that I posted from In Pursuit of Truth iPod, watch that, because it becomes very obvious that this is spreading and this is becoming an unstoppable force that's got some people worried. I mean, they never thought that Trump would win. They never thought that she wouldn't win. So
before we go on, I just got a thing that's saying that Nancy is trying to get that video rejected off of Facebook and Twitter.
What a snake.
Oh, yeah. It just came in. She's a snake. There you go.
Anyway, we have our guest in the studio. We got Bill Chappell with us. He's running for District 4. He's a former Board of Supervisor, District 4 office holder, and he's coming back. And maybe you can introduce yourself to the listeners, Bill, and tell us why you're going to run again.
Okay. Just good morning, everybody. I want to thank you guys for having me here today. The reason why I'm running again is I've got some unfinished business I want to take care of. We've got some problems in Shasta County, as everybody knows, with the crime and the homeless and so forth. And I've got some ideas that I think that are kind of out of the box. They're different. And I think that they got some validity. I think they have enough validity that I would like to implement them and see where we can go with them. I was, and I am, the only one that ever put any rehabilitation program in the Shasta County Jail. And currently it's still going strong. And I don't know if anybody's familiar with Shock Collar 1, Shock Collar 2, but they do exactly what those entitlements are. They call the shots in the jail. Shock Collar 1 and Shock Collar 2 both attended the program that I put in the Shasta County Jail. And guess what? Shock Collar 1 and Shock Collar 2 tells the other inmates to go to it. So it's been, on its own, successful. But there's an additional rehabilitation program that I think, and I think it would supplement the program that I've got in there greatly, and I think what would happen is it would give, when you're talking about rehabilitation and you're talking about people getting back on the street and they're going to be responsible citizens, let's not get carried away and think we're going to rehabilitate 80 or 100%. We're looking at maybe 15 to 20%, but that's definitely better than nothing, okay? And we'll see how it goes. I taught at Preston. I taught at California Youth Authority, which is now Juvenile Justice. I had governor recognition there, okay? So some of my out-of-the-box ideas work. I actually placed those inmates on jobs when they left Preston. Never heard of. So some of this stuff that comes into my head, I believe it's through God, myself. I think I was blessed when I did education both in there and in Contra Costa Community College. I was very successful. And then when I came up here and bought a marine on Shasta Lake, it was never the perfect fit for me.
Okay, before we get, I'm sure we're going to get into Measure A because that seems to be a hot topic.
You're reading my mind.
Yeah, we do have a caller on the line. We've got Dick. Good morning, Dick.
Hey, good morning, Linda. This is not much about Measure A. As most of the listeners know, there's a veterans home run by the state of California on Knighton Road.
Yep.
And the state of California has lots of rules about what they'll provide for the veterans out there. And there was a group formed called the Northern California Veterans Support Group, which you happen to be the president of, Linda. And I happen to be the treasurer. And,
yep.
And we provide lots of extra things like build a pool table, bocce ball card, give them a beautiful presentation flag for their flagpole in front. But anyway, a lot of stuff the state will not buy. And most of the money comes from generous donations from supporters and fundraisers. And we're having a fundraiser now. We're giving away a 40-gun cannon gun safe, and that just started about a week ago.
Yep.
The tickets are $10. And I want to mention also, I have tickets. You can get them at the Patriots meeting. You have tickets. And also, there's going to be a booth on March 7th and 8th at the Reading Gun Show at the Holiday Inn, so at the convention center, so tickets can be purchased there. Anyway, we need money to support the veterans at the home, so don't forget to break out a few bucks and buy some tickets. Anyway, that's all I have to say.
All right, thanks for calling in, Dick. I forgot to mention that. I appreciate that's why you're on the board with me to help me out with those things. So.
Okay.
All right, thanks.
And hi, Mark.
Hey, thanks, Dick. So I'm glad you actually acknowledge that I'm still here.
Okay.
All right, thank you, Mr. Wilkerson. All right, so we're going to go right into Measure A.
now
that's
you,
the board.
Now let me finish here. This is not an environment for pansies, as you well know, Bill. So we're not going to pull any punches anymore on you than we did on our last caller.
Oh, that's fine.
Okay, so Measure A, for or against, and why?
I'm not for it. Okay, so I would imagine that means that I'm against it. And I'm not against the concept as much as I'm just against, I don't quite understand what they want to do. I've read through it. The more I read into it, the more confused I get. Anytime you're going to hand funds over to the state, I'd be a little uncomfortable whether they're ever going to come back again. Okay, we run 49 to 50. That's 49 to 50 in the states of the United States of America. We tie with New York as being the worst illegal corrupt state in the union. Okay, so we're going to take those funds, we're going to hand them over to these fine folks that have buried $48 million in a Delaware corporation out of our CARB funds. The lady that runs CARB can only account for 40% of the funds that she collects, and we're going to hand those funds over to those fine folks, and where are they going to go?
All right. So with that, we'll give the question about the forensic audit. Where do you sit with the forensic audit of Shasta County?
The forensic audit. The forensic audit.
Forensic.
I think what we're talking about
which
is...
Which way are they going to audit? Is that they're going to audit when the funds go out or in?
I think are going out because we here's the thing. They're stonewalling everybody. Now, you've been on the board there of the supervisors before, and we've asked for an accounting. They don't want to give us an accounting. Doesn't seem like the city of Reading wants to give us an accounting. We want to know.
They don't want to be transparent at all.
We want to know where all this money is going and being spent, you know, and that's the question, because I don't think we have a fund or a money problem. I think we have a spending problem.
Well, I think that's what a lot of people say. And if you want to talk about that, let's talk about California, okay?
Okay.
It's fifth in the world, okay, in the economic, okay?
As far as
it's
economy.
It's $2.1 trillion annually, all right? The only one that comes close to it is Texas at $1.1 trillion. The rest of them are in the $100 billion range, okay? We are now in debt, $1.2 trillion in unfunded liabilities. We can't run the state when other countries run their country on the kind of money we got. And then they want us to come up to a little bodunk county like Shasta County and the rest of the counties and then make us try to pay for stuff that they should be paying for. Where does the money go? Let's talk about L.A. I'm not for sure where the funds came from, so I'm not going to say where they came from. But they got $1.1 billion. That's $1,100 million, okay?
Maybe they came from the Ukraine.
Maybe it came from Ukraine. Okay, it could have. So they have started building a homeless house. Oh, that's nice. They got two little pillars going up, maybe about two stories, a 6-foot cyclone fence that goes all the way around it, and $1 billion of the money is gone, and $100 billion is still left.
Well, they're
being, $100 million.
They're being sued right now. I'll see if I can pull up the organizations that's suing them. But they're being sued right now to open the books up, and they're refusing to at this level because it's a criminal government at this point. You got, Gavin Newsom, as I like to refer to him, and then you got Becerra, you got, those guys are on the same team, right, which is not our team.
No, it's not our team. And the other thing is Brian Murr said that we are going to generate $31 million a year. If I take the whole Shasta County population, counting the crippled, the people that don't pay taxes, the kids and everything, and times the 120 a year we're supposed to be spending on taxes, that's $21 million a year. So there's a problem there of only $10 million. I got a call into Brian Muir. I did talk to Ruben Cruz. He said call Brian Muir. He's the one that came up with the figure. So I want to see where he got the figure at.
Okay, I guess with that, we need to go to a break, and then we'll come back and pick this up on the other side. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
I've lived as happily and as well as I've lived all these years. And if I passed away tomorrow, all the folks that knew me well can say, well, boy, he sure lived like he wanted to live.
Years you gotta let them go, and they kind of roll by like tears. Just a measure of time playing with your mind, passing you by those years. Look around, up and down, they're nowhere to be found. Like the wind, my old friends, they come and go again. Don't look back in sorrow, just hope you see tomorrow. Those years, everybody knows, you gotta let them go, and they gotta roll by like tears. Just a measure of time, playing with your mind, passing you by those.
SST Oil on Windham Lane in Reading, your source for specialty fuels and oils, including kerosene and low sulfur fuel oil. They feature Toyotomi heating systems and on-demand water heaters. Save $100 on a new Toyotomi home water heater and ask about special savings for residents affected by the car fire. Locally owned SST Oil, supporting the community through summer fires and winter snows. Stay warm and cozy with Toyotomi and SST Oil. 241-1167. 241-1167.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004. But our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
If you're looking for the accountability of a personal trainer, the energy and camaraderie of a group, and a budget-conscious price tag, then our team training at Adamson's Peak Performance is for you. We've got your fitness needs covered with five types of time-efficient, 30-minute team training workouts. Mix and combine these challenging strength and conditioning sessions to enhance sports performance, build muscle, burn fat, and sculpt the body you've been dreaming of. AdamsonsPeakPerformance.com or call us at 221-8006.
As we remember the anniversary of the North State fires, Northern Valley Catholic Social Service would like to thank you. Because of you, NVCSS has served over 26,000 people in the North State. Because of you, children have returned to school. Our communities are rebuilding. Families have a new place to call home. People are healing. Northern Valley Catholic Social Service thanks you. Together, we will continue inspiring hope and transforming lives.
Sovereign Radio. That's some old stuff.
Yep.
That's good old stuff. I know. I really like that big band era
stuff.
I mean,
it's gone. It's gone. It's too bad, too.
Well, I was over. We had lunch over there at 202 the other day, kind of an office picnic time. Outside there, and they were playing all this big band stuff over there. It was really, really good.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Really
it was kind of neat. Yeah.
So, with that said... where are we?
we're hitting Proposition 13,
Measure A.
Where did I get Proposition 13?
Because they're attacking that too. Yeah,
exactly.
Okay,
they tried to make it sound so good.
I do have the information on Open Books has sued the state of California. Now this is at openbooks.com. And they've got a petition to sign in Superior Court of the State of California, County Sacramento. Plaintiffs American Transparency, OpenTheBooks.com. Adam, I don't even know how to pronounce his name, is bringing a lawsuit to the California, saying that they're not following the California Constitution, that these guys are refusing to produce records and of spending information to government watchdogs and the interested public. And the controller, it openly admits to paying 49 million bills annually. I mean, so he's paying 49 million bills annually. That's how many checks are going out. Okay.
That's crazy.
Totaling approximately $320 billion in payments.
Except it doesn't tell you where the payments are
except
going.
We can't figure out where it's going.
Imagine that.
Just the accounting system cost $1.1 billion. Nobody's getting paid. Nobody's bombs are getting greased there, are they? And they still can't produce a state checkbook. So,
wow.
Yeah.
How does that work?
So he's writing the checks.
So somebody's writing the checks. The controller nevertheless claims it cannot meet its obligations under the CPRA to provide copies of records reflecting its most basic handling of taxpayers' dollars. Now, does that sound like something familiar that we're talking about Measure A and auditing? That's what we're talking about when we're talking about auditing.
Yes.
We want to see where the money's going. And these guys are not, they think they're above the law. They think they are the law here in Shasta County.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, you've been on the Board of Supervisors. What's your take on this? Are we all just malcontents or is this a real problem?
It's a problem. It really is a problem, you know. And a lot of the stuff that I did on the board is I did by myself, you know. Because I didn't see how the money was spent in Shasta County and everything, so I can't say corrupt. But I can say there's a lot of stuff that happens that's by design.
So let's take you guys,
for instance, when you guys came and you wanted to speak and they had you come in the afternoon and everybody got 3 minutes. Of course, everybody's talking about Jefferson, but they're saying the same thing. Then you wanted to bring Mark back and I was for bringing Mark back because he could explain. And we just got the financials from you guys. Terry Raposa sent me the book that came out of Sacramento. Somebody put it together.
Right.
And we didn't have a time. And that was one of the big things. When are you going to go? How is it going to be spent? And we didn't have a time to review it. So I said, Kehoe actually had the motion that he made was typed out. Oh, I looked over at him. So he had that motion
prior
going into that meeting.
I wish we'd have asked our last guest if he was fourth or against David Jefferson. We got kind of lost up on it. But I was there at that meeting. And, that's why I have no respect for Les Baugh at this point, period, because of what he did was backstabbing. He said he was going to go up there and support it. He got up there and he submarined it at that point. But you were just saying you were on the Board of Supervisors, but you couldn't see where the money's being spent. What's up with that? I mean, you're on the board and nobody shows you anything. You can't get the books?
You have a budget and it's huge. And if you want to review it, you can do that, you know. And then when I get back on the board, now that I'm, you know, probably more aware of the backside of a lot of stuff is too, I will be reviewing that stuff. But you're talking days, okay? You're not talking. I mean, for you, it might be a lot easier to just go through.
Well, maybe we need to if you could just get copies and disseminate them.
I can get copies and give them to you guys.
Yeah, why can't the other guys give us any copies?
Yeah,
well, I don't know. And with that, we do have Peter on the line. I'm sure he has a question or comment for you. Hey, Peter.
Yeah, thank you, guys. I got a bit excited before. I'll try to stay a little bit calmer. I love you, Bill. Listen, Mike, do you know what the budget for the the law enforcement is in the county?
It's high. How's that sound?
I asked that question at the papers meeting before the public meeting of Joe and Steve. Nothing against them, you know. I don't have a problem with them. And they didn't know. And then Joe was astute enough to find out because he knew I was going to ask it in public. And he came out and said it's $44 million. Now, my problem is $44 million, and they want to increase that budget by $31 million, which is a 70% increase in the budget. Where else in the world can you increase a budget by 70% in the government?
In Shasta County. Yeah. Oh, excuse me, Peter. California.
Yeah, there you go. But nobody's talking about that. I mean, I'm a business guy, mate. You know, if I'm selling a product and I've got to raise the cost of the product to to stay alive, I just can't turn around and slap 70%. I've got to turn around and look at what things are selling for and what I can get away with. You know, what the public will bear.
Yeah, that's for sure. And that's why I'd like
to be brought out there a little more often that they're increasing, they want to increase the budget through Measure A by 70%.
And to me, that the $31 million right now, in my mind, I'm going to call it fictitious, because right now I can't come up with $31 million, no matter what I do, no matter how many people I add to Shasta County or how much more money, unless I want to put way more money in than they talk about we're going to be spending. And I don't know where that's all going to come from, but I don't like. And here's the other thing that I don't know how many people. We have three cities involved. We have Shasta Lake City, we have Redding, and we have Anderson, and then we also have the fourth entity, which would be Shasta County. How is that money going to get split up? Is Redding going to get the crux of it because of the highest tax collector? I mean, I haven't seen anything, unless you guys have seen something, Mark and Linda, where how that money might get dispersed.
I know is that down the road, another 6 or 7 years, I'll be after another 1%. Why? To pay for the unfunded liability.
You've got to solve the problem that's causing the problem,
and it's the unfunded liability. These people have to start paying for their own bloody retirement plans and their own medical.
That's
just like
the
private sector.
And Redding's got a really bad problem with that with PERS and PARS.
You betcha.
Well, it's coming to a head.
Thank you for your time.
All right. Thanks for calling in, Peter. We appreciate it.
It's coming to a head. It really is. Sooner or later, and it might be sooner. But that's why I think that they want this Measure A. I mean, the public safety, I believe, is a ploy to get more money coming into the coffers, because they can see the writing on the wall. These people are not stupid, conniving, maybe a few other adjectives. But the thing is that they can see the writing on the wall that they have to get some more money coming. And they're talking about doubling the budget here and bringing in 15 to 30 million off this Measure A. Why? Because they know they got to figure out a way to pay for these unfunded liabilities.
Yeah, and that's probably where it's going to go. I mean, we have no guarantee how this money's going to get spent. We've heard this story before, and we've seen this song and dance. Anybody that's been around for a while, there's a lot of, you know, we spend more money on education than anybody in the world. And in California, we're 47 out of 71 countries, and we're 44 in math out of 71 countries. Now, I'm talking countries, folks, not counties and not states, okay? And how did that ever happen?
Well,
and we've thrown a ton of money at it, right? It's always money, money, money.
Yeah, it's just insane.
I was trying to find, you asked about if we knew where some of it was going to go. I did see somewhere, and I'm trying to pull it up, how many police officers that they were were going to fail with this this money in what cities and stuff. So I'll keep working at it and see if I can pull it up. And not that it's a guarantee. Don't get me wrong. It's not a guarantee that that's what they're going to do with the money. But
our current sheriff right now, said he can't hire them. Okay, I mean, I can't remember the exact number, but they had somewhere around 20, 25 applicants that dropped down to about 10 or 11 or somewhere in there. And then out of that, they looked at maybe we had four. But, I mean, he said that trying to put another jail together and hiring staff for that is not going to happen.
With that said, go ahead and remain on the line, Terry. We got to go to a short break, and we'll be right back, and then we'll get your question in.
All right, this is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. We bring you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites.
You'll hear from experts on national security, the environment, veterans affairs, world politics, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your John Deere Ag and Turf products.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. wethepeopleradio.us.
No one plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need on-time, first-rate medical attention. Shasta Regional Medical Center, located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Reading, has the fastest possible transit and admission of emergency patients. We at Shasta Medical Center are dedicated to all patients who need care, regardless of their ability to pay. Shasta Regional Medical Center, delivering patient-centered health care with compassion, dignity, and respect for every patient and their family.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to a North State with no more homeless pets.
We're back, and we do have a caller on the line. We're here with Bill Chappelle, who's running for District 4 in Shasta County. You're on the air, Terry. Go ahead.
Yeah, Bill was right on. I mean, we really don't know where they're going to come up with $31 million. And Pete was also right on when he was talking about the 75% increase. Where are they going to get that from? The deal is that... And I don't know if you guys cover this because I was in and out of stores. Did you cover the fact that this tax never goes away? Did you guys cover that?
Well, no, we have not touched.
Not really,
that,
but you know, now that you brought it up, there's no such thing as a temporary tax. There never has been. There never will be. Once these guys get their hand in the cookie jar, they never let it go.
Well, there would be if there was a sunset clause, but there is no sunset clause, and it says in the bill that they need four of the five supervisors
Correct.
To vote to repeal or lessen the tax, not the normal three of five for a quorum. They need four of five. That's never going to happen. When I talked to Morgan, Supervisor Morgan, he said, well, I wanted it to be five of five. I mean, that's the mentality here. And Bill, you know, your answers have been spot on this stuff, and it seems like there's a few of you that all think along the same lines, but really and truly, do people realize that this tax never goes away? And I'll just take my answer off the air.
Well, that never goes away. Let's just take something like the Bay Bridge, for instance, when it started off at quarter, and they told the public after that bridge gets built, there'll be no more tariffs, if you want to call them tariffs, that's how I call them tariffs, or fees, going across the bridge. Now it's $5 to $6 to $7, okay? So, they never go away. And once they can get their hand on it, and like I said earlier, the problem I've got is that, the public hasn't, they will vote on it, but after that, it's up to the board, so the public doesn't have any input into it after if it gets to the point of being passed, which I'm not for sure it will. I think the public at large is tired of being taxed. I think they have to see somewhere along the line that more money hasn't worked for a long time.
Well, and the people can only pay so much. I mean, there's a lot of people leaving because of the taxes. They can't keep their businesses open.
Linda, we're scheduled to lose one congressman in Washington, D.C. this year because of the depletion of the population in California.
I guess we have another caller.
We do. We've got Thomas. Good morning, Thomas.
Hey, good morning.
You got a question?
Yeah, a question for Mr. Chappelle. I've been going to most of the county meetings here for, I don't know, 5 or 6 years. And I've asked Mr. Chappelle this one question also, is that how does he believe in a grand jury? And one time some little girl in auditing or something made a mistake and some word was transposed, so it gave the basically elected officials, the Idaho Tom, our ex-sheriff, and our tax collector, one more, basically gave them about $34,000 a year extra. And Mr. Modi and Mr. Kehoe voted no. Mr. Chappelle was a swing vote to give them their money. Even though it was retroactive, the grand jury came and said, no, give the money back. Mr. Chappelle was the deciding vote for them to keep their money. Here the answer also.
You like to pound me on that one, don't you? I got pounded on it, and I've explained it to you, and I've explained it to other people, okay? I couldn't, in my mind, maybe my mind doesn't work right, but I have been managers and assistant managers. All the managers and all assistant managers get a bonus. But if you're an elected official, you don't get that bonus. And I couldn't understand why or what the difference is in the management ability or the skills that would not give them that bonus. That the money that Vasanko got was not a one-year gift. It was over of several years that it wasn't paid. It went retroactive backwards. And that's why the sum was larger. And that's what I kept trying to tell everybody. But the thing that I can't understand, if we're going to be fair, and we're giving bonuses to management and mid-management, why are we giving it to the elected officials? What happened to the elected officials that they don't get it? Number one, they don't get paid a lot in their positions in Shasta County, okay? So the bonuses, they provide a carrot for somebody who might want to be in those positions. And you're not just talking Vasanko, okay? So quit talking Vasanko. You're talking all the different elected officials in Shasta County, okay? And those elected officials felt, when they reversed it with the grand jury, felt that they really, really felt that they were being sabotaged.
Well, but, do they have the same kind of a pay thing as the regular workers that aren't elected, as far as if one gets a raise, do they all get a raise?
I'm not for sure how their raises work on elected and not elected. I can't answer that legitimately. I can take a small guess at it that I might think I'm about 80% right, but I don't want to do that.
Okay. Yeah, because I know that on the people that aren't elected, that's part of the reason that the new guy coming in from Santa Barbara taking over the spot for Larry Lees is that they give him a 20% raise or a $25,000 raise. Well, what that does is open up the door for everybody else to get a raise on a percentage scale. So what that means is the guys at the top get a big raise, and the guys in the middle and the bottom get a moderate or a small raise. And that's why they do it, because their house salaries are – everybody goes along with the program because of who doesn't want a raise.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. With that, we do have another caller on the line. We've got Nick. Good morning, Nick.
Hey, I'm back. Hey, Bill. You probably heard me talk to Curtis about Danielle Ewert lying to the city council about the jail bed vacancy down in San Antonio. Are you familiar what I've been saying about that?
Are you asking me?
Yes.
I'm not familiar with jail beds that are available in San Antonio,
but I'm familiar with
shipping people off to different counties.
That's not where I'm going, Bill.
Okay.
Here's the scenario. Danielle Ewert told the supervisors that San Antonio was going to build a jail, but they put their money into homeless services, and San Antonio didn't have to build a jail. In fact, they have 1,000 empty jail beds. I called San Antonio, and they said they didn't even have 500, and that's as far as I went, that we were lied to by him. Now, I'm wondering how you would have handled that. Would you have fired him? And I'm wondering, too, was there any time while you were supervisor you felt like maybe you weren't getting dealt with honestly by some people wanting to slant your decision towards, you know, the way they want the county to go, more liberal?
Okay, for the last question, yes, several times, okay. I was the only one that resolved the Reverge Anselmo problem. And when I did that, I was of one. I had several in our closed meetings accounts that they mostly called me a traitor and all kinds of other stuff names. But I told the county, you want me to believe your side of the story. There's always a secondary side of the story because we have a battle here, and we need to find out what it is and what's legitimate and if we can resolve it.
When you say somebody called you a traitor, was that somebody specific that you could say who it was, or was it just the public at large? Or how'd that work? I mean, because that's saying quite a bit. If someone was in there saying that, I'd pretty much put their name out on the chopping block, you know. So
I kept the whole thing pretty quiet. I actually used Larry Lees and Ruben Cruz, and I told them exactly what I was going to do, every move, okay? And I never told the rest of the board that.
Well, see, here's one of my issues, is that I think we need somebody that's going to be a disruptor in there. I think somebody who's loud, vocal, kind of like, our president, who's not taking a bunch of crap off of anybody and throwing it out in the public and bypassing, you know, all the filters. So, I mean, that's what I'm looking for in someone to take over the board here, or a couple people or get some new blood in there that's not going to be quiet about these issues, because I think being quiet about these issues is over. What say you about that?
Can I break in?
And I agree with the Donald Trump scenario. And I agree that if I get back in, I will probably want to be one of some of the people won't like me, because some of the people love Gavin Newsom. Some of the people like Barack Obama, you know, and that's this way it's going to happen. And I'm not going to look for a bunch of people that just fall in love with Bill Chappelle. I'm going to do the right thing for this county and for the people, and I'm going to try and make it the safest county we can have for our children and grandchildren, and I'm going to try and clean up some of the hobos problem. I'm not saying I'm going to clean it all up, and I'm also going to clean up some of our criminal stuff by rehabilitating people in jail. If you don't do it in jail, you can't do it out of jail. It's impossible. It's stupid. So you will hear me. All the time.
Questions.
The record searchlight hates me because it's a USA rag, liberal rag, and that's all I can do. But you will hear me a lot. If I get on, you will definitely hear a voice, and you'll hear a voice of common sense and reason.
Go ahead, Nick.
Yeah, go ahead, Nick.
Okay, well, what I'm trying to get at is the board has made numerous decisions knowing that they were being fed false information. Even maybe not even knowing, but suspicious of false information. What can we do to alleviate that? That's absolutely ridiculous. Being misled, making decisions, and being misled by the information they're being fed. Am I right there?
Well, partially, and I don't know how much misled. When you talk about deception, is it 10% or 30% or 50% or what it is? So it's not 100%, okay?
Well,
the other thing is that really bugged me is that we went through extensively that we were going to build the ARC, the Adult Rehabilitation Center. And then when it got right down to it, they said they didn't have the funds for it. We provided the funds for that. Basanko put a lot of work into it and showed where we could do some stuff with the existing jail, put some, you know, actually the kitchen and everything was going to be over at the ARC. We were going to flip-flop some expenses and stuff. And at the time we were doing it, they were talking about him cutting back on a couple of sheriff positions to make it all work out. I don't understand why that didn't materialize. Those funds were going to be given by the state and the feds. And then we had to come up with 10% every time if we get a grant like $20 million to build a jail, we got to come up with a couple million bucks of our own money. One of the reasons why they stopped doing that, there was one that was before I was a supervisor, is because if we can't administratively afford to run that jail. The state takes it over, and they were worried the state would make it a state penitentiary.
Well, it was my understanding mostly that it was a feud between Modi and Sheriff, the way that played out, and that's the reason we didn't get it.
Modi and the Sheriff?
Yes, Pazinko.
I have, that one shocked me. You know, I don't know.
Well, I'll finish with this. When you deliberately deceive somebody, you're lying to them. And it seems like we've got staff lying to the supervisors. And then we got feuds with the supervisors and other people in power. And nothing's working. So have a great day, Bill.
All right, thanks for calling in.
Hey, I have a question about the grand jury report before we go to our next caller. So on the grand jury report, if they say something needs to be done, there's graft, there's some undue influence, whatever it happens to be, you know, this last report, they had a bunch of stuff that, and they said there was a bunch of things that were wrong that needed to be fixed, and the Board of Supervisors just said, we don't care. So can anybody make a criminal referral to the DA on the board? Does it take a majority of the board? Is there any way that we can get these guys held accountable? Will the DA do anything about that if there's a referral?
Are you asking me?
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't answer that question. I don't want to answer something and just take a speculated guess on it or everything. I would say that, yes, there's avenues for it. The problem is what you've got with your DA. Okay, you're talking about Stephanie and Bridget, and they're processing. They can't process what they got right now. They can't. There's no misdemeanors being processed. She told me they only had two judges. The other thing is California has created a lot of problems with 109 and 47 as far as criminals and stuff. And so now what you've got, this guy comes in with five felonies, and he just did the same felony again. Now he's got six. And when you take him in front of the judge and the jury, you can only talk about the current charge. You can't talk about the back charges. Right. So he goes to jail, if he does go to jail even, for that one felony charge, and that's it. And she said they got two judges. And so when you start with and this is a lot of the problem. It's not that maybe they don't want to do something. There's not enough staff.
And with that, we do have a caller on the line. We've got Dick.
Hey, I'm back.
Hey, what do you got for us?
You know, I'm looking at what they expect to spend the money on. I got this Measure A flyer, vote yes, Measure A. And then, all right, now I'm looking at the map of Shasta County. Mm-hmm. And I see to the west is Platina, French Gulch, Lakehead. To the north is Castella, Nana. To the east, there's Fall River Mills, Cassell. To the south is Shingletown. I see that almost all the money is going to be spent in Redding, in the city of Redding, and these people are going to be paying the tax, and I don't see they're going to benefit at all. So I think all them people should get together and make sure they vote against the damn thing.
I'm just going to be really facetious. They're going to benefit from crime reduction. Don't you understand that? More money, we're going to get crime reduction. That's so much BS, I can't even believe it.
One more sheriff to ride around the whole country. I don't see they're going to benefit from Measure A, but they're going to be paying it when they buy stuff.
I think right. It just goes back to the fundamental issue of where's the money going? You know, where's the beef? You know, that's the thing. You
it
know,
looks like to me, most of all is going to be spent in building up the workforce.
Okay,
they're going to hire probably another 180. Members?
Well, that's assuming that they're going to spend it that way. There's really nothing in that tells them they have to spend it any way in particular that I can see from what I'm hearing. And so, I mean, they can spend it on unfunded liabilities if they want to, can't they?
Yes, well, they can spend it any way they want to. That's
safety,
the problem
with it. They can rationalize, say, well, if we all got a raise, it would be benefit for public safety, so let's do it.
Yes, that's the only way we can get police out on the streets is we got
to
pay them more.
We'd be all safer if we all got bigger pensions when we are.
Right.
No, we'd all be safer if we carried bigger 45s.
Better medical coverage. Anyway, that's my two cents.
Well, thanks for calling back in.
I think what, you know, the fundamental issue that we're coming to grips with here is that we don't trust any of these guys anymore. I mean, the real deal is that we, you know, there might be a few in, on these different boards or, you know, the city council, but they, if they seem to act in a way that there's always a majority that votes against the public or does whatever they want.
It's a lack of common sense. It's a lack of experience, and it's a lack of doing the right thing. Okay. The Reading Board and the Shasta County Board right now, they don't have very many people. In fact, I don't think they have any on there that actually have the common sense.
Then you've got to have somebody that's going to stand up and get in their face is what it looks like to me. I mean, that's the only thing is using that bully pulpit to expose these people every time they do it.
Well, if they're getting away with it for how long?
Expose them forever, for a long time.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Gavin Newsom and his wisdom, and now he wants to spend another $1 billion-something dollars for homeless shelters, decided he was going to build homeless shelters in San Francisco when he was governor. He attracted a ton of homeless. He's the one that's got the homeless problem the way it is right now. Single-handedly him, Gavin Newsom. He didn't even build all of the homeless shelters that he was promising to build. Who knows where the money went? So you've got those kinds of false promises that just continue to kick off and kick off and kick off. And you see it with the Democratic Party right now. You see what's been happening with when they're trying to try Trump on nothing. They got nothing against Trump. But they just hate the guy and they hate the way he's operating because he's actually one of the first presidents that I've seen in a long time that's really super pro America and pro people. It amazes me that a multi-billionaire identifies with blue collar people more than the elite. He's not the polished elite person.
And that's what I'm saying about getting back to local here. That's kind of what we've got to do here locally. I mean, I don't want to get off the track here of talking about Trump as much as I'm saying, why can't that be something local here that we're not worried about what we're getting paid? We don't care what everybody thinks. We're worried about the American people and the public at large, and these guys have to be exposed here. I mean, whoever gets in there at the Board of Supervisors is going to have to find a method, whether it's social media, through the different outlets. You can't do it through the paper here, and you can't do it through the television. So you're going to have a social media presence that's actually going to start exposing these people. And I think that's really the answer across the board. And that's what Trump has done is, you know, that's why the Twitter, that's why the Q, that's why he's using it. And a lot of other methods as well is that you're going to have to expose these people for who they really are locally, because that's why they've been getting away with it is the local news, television. They don't report anything that is going to say anything bad about these guys. They're so afraid to step on anybody's toes. But if you get on the Board of Supervisors, you're going to have to be fearless because these guys also play dirty and they play hardball.
Yeah, they do. They do. They play hardball, and it's not. The Record Searchlight. You know, they didn't like me at all. So if that means anything.
Well, we're about out of time.
The Board of Supervisors has been getting away with it like many other people and boards for a long time, and they didn't think it was going to get to this point that the people would stand up and start calling them out on the carpet.
Well, that's what it's going to take.
Yeah.
I think it's not Shasta County, but it's even California. I mean, but we're not going to change Sacramento. But we can start trying to change some stuff in our backyard.
Right.
And that's where we need to start. And I think if we can implement some stellar programs that actually start getting public attention, that might have a nice movement for us.
We only have a few minutes left. Is you want to get out your contact information, how people can get a hold of you?
Well, right now, the telephone right now is the best way to get a hold of me, which is, 530, Eric Carroll, everybody knows that, but it's 524-0590.
And do you have a website?
I have a website. It's Bill Chappell. It's FOR Supervisor. Then the number 4.com.
All right. Well, we want to.
And then I do have a Facebook. But the thing is that just give me a call. I had a couple calls from Lakehead on this Measure A the other day, and so. You can give me a buzz. If you don't get me, just leave a message. I'll get back with you. 524-0590. I know Morgan said I was, he lied. You know, that was one of the problems. And I thought it was so insignificant. But he lied that I don't ever answer my phone or I'm ever in any of the meetings, him and his cohorts. And so they voted for a liar. That's nice. That's what happens, okay? Be responsible. Vote for somebody that you know is going to do something.
Well, we're about out of time,
yep.
Bill.
We want to say thank you for coming in.
So let's make District 4 great again. Vote for Bill Chappelle.
There you have it. Perfect.
All right.
Very good. So we've got about a minute left. They're going to cut us off with the music here, I'm pretty sure.
Right. So if you want to learn more about Measure A, it will be at the Reading Patriots tomorrow night at 6 p.m., 2570 South Bonneview Avenue.
Remember, amateurs built the Ark, professionals built the Titanic. Government is not reason, it is not eloquence. It is force, and force like fire is a dangerous servant and fearful master. You've been listening to Sovereign Mind Radio, where we put principles above parties, liberty over security, and truth not lies.
And I want to let people know we only have 500 tickets were printed for the gun safe. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
I am just a simple man, working with my hands. Oh, believe me.
Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.